Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast. Today, we're going to hear how a small-town bank in Oklahoma was brought back from the brink of failure during the financial crisis in 2008 and evolved into a resilient and innovative institution that's received national recognition. Our guest's story is a remarkable testament to the great leadership, vision, discipline, and determination. Before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors. Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission. Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. And USA, where we take care of our own. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it every week. We love them, too. I'm excited to introduce today's Jill Castilla, the chairman, president, and CEO of the Citizens Bank of Edmond, Oklahoma, and a veteran, I love saying that every time, military spouse and military mom, Jill, welcome to the show.
So great to be on. Thank you so much.
I thank you for coming on. This is a special day anyway, having you on the show, that's for sure. I introduced you with your title, but I want our audience to hear just a partial list of your accomplishments. So let me name a few, and I'm gonna read this. I'm gonna make sure I get it all right. As we said, you led a small failing bank through one of the fastest turnarounds during the financial crisis in 2008. You invented, deployed, and secured a patent for self-serve cash and coin teller that was critical for small businesses during the pandemic. And for 12 consecutive years, you've been named one of the most 25 most powerful women in banking by American Banker. And you're the only community banker on the advisory board for the Federal Reserve. And that's just a partial list, Jill. I had to get that out right up front here. Now, since I've said all of that, would you tell us a little bit about your background and like your family and your military life?
Oh, thank you so much. That's so generous. That's embarrassing to have those.
No, it shouldn't be embarrassing. I think it's important for people. You know, sometimes they're afraid that you don't want to tell people, but I want to tell people all the great accomplishments you've done. And that's what this show is about, because you really did some remarkable things that we need to tell this country about. How important you are and what you're doing for our country.
Thank you so much. So I grew up in Eastern Oklahoma. I'm really proud to be back here in Oklahoma at this bank. I enlisted when I was 19 in the Oklahoma Army National Guard. I grew up a single dad in a real, kind of desperate economic situation. I wanted to go get out of my small town, go to college, but really didn't have a lot of pathways to do that. And so I was really fortunate to carry groceries out for a recruiter, and became a construction engineer, construction surveyor. I was A2 Bravo when I first enlisted. It changed my life. It gave me the pathway to be able to education. And so that was a big part of my experience. I worked at the Federal Reserve for about a decade, got married, had worked in a bank in northern Minnesota, and then came here back to Citizens whenever it got into trouble. I'm married to my husband. He's a retired Lieutenant Colonel, Marcus Castilla. He served in the active duty as well as Army Reserves, and is now a part of the bank. He works with me on our Roger Bank, our digital military bank that the bank started. We have three kids. One is a sophomore at Ole Miss. He's an aspiring doctor, wants to serve in the military once he's able to finish medical school. And we have two other kids on active duty. One, it's a West Point grad. He's an active duty Army, and a daughter, it's a Naval Academy grad. And she is in the Navy.
We need to talk to the Navy. Get her to come over in the Army here a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah, she, yes, you're exactly right. When she rebelled, she got into West Point, the Air Force Academy, rebelled against the family, and chose to go to Annapolis. But she's paving her own way as a surface warfare officer. She's about to deploy. So really proud that our kids have chosen to serve.
Well, you should be proud. Sound like you're doing a bang-up job. That's for doggone sure. Hey, when you left the Army, what made you choose baking, though?
You know, it just kind of chose me. Whenever I was growing up in my little small town, the matriarch of a local community banking family, I would carry groceries out for her and her husband. And she's the one that paid for me to take the ACT. She encouraged me to leave our small town. She really paid for me to go to cheerleading camp and was always this great supporter in our small community for kids that maybe didn't have the same economic success as her family did. And so whenever we were stationed at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii, and I was working at Crazy Shirts in Waikiki while I was going to school. And I was an engineering major at that time, and I really wanted to put my analytical skills to use. And my boss at the time was like, you know what, you really like people too. You should combine those analytical skills with your people skills and maybe pursue business. So the local Hawaii Pacific University was able to be really creative with transferring credit for me. And so I got a finance degree in a year. I took 33 credit hours a semester while I was working full time, while my husband was deployed, and finished my degree. And at that time, I got offered a position here back home when my husband was getting out of the military, transitioning into the reserves to work at Citizens Bank of Edmond. And then I got my dream job at the Federal Reserve, working in their management development program for about a decade. And so I just really got to embody that spirit of Lurleen Mabry, that woman that really encouraged me. The Fed sent you to banking school. So you pretend run a bank your third year of banking school there. And I just fell in love with the business model, but also this responsibility to be a steward for your community well beyond deposits and loans, to be looking out for those that need a little help, being someone that's responsible for the economic success for generations in your community, not just the economic success of your institution quarter by quarter. And I just fell in love with it. So I got to go to a bank in Northern Minnesota as their senior finance officer. And then this bank that I worked at previously got into some trouble and offered me the opportunity to come back here.
Is that why you left the Federal Reserve, was to come back to the bank in Kansas City?
I went to a bank in Northern Minnesota and had the opportunity to be part of a family bank there that had been four generations of the same family in the small community bank in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. When I was going to basic training in AIT, all my money was direct deposited at Citizens Bank of Edmond, where I now work. And a family member had spent all my money while I was gone. And so I had this strange relationship with the bank here, and that it was the first place I had this kind of situation where all this money went away, and I had this kind of difficult financial situation with the bank. And then,
yeah. What did you find when you first came back to the bank? What did you find when you got there?
Gosh, when I came here, they just had a Federal Reserve examination. And so they found that their lending practices were bad. But in my first 30 days, I found rampant fraud that was occurring with the institution. And so we had a complete turnover of our senior management team. I didn't have a position of authority or any positional power, but was the one leading the bank through this transition without really any other leadership. And so it was a really difficult time to kind of talk about things that were improper. There was a lot of also just unethical behavior that was occurring in all facets around the organization. And so calling that out to the board, disclosing it to regulators, and then trying to come up with a plan to get this bank on solid footing.
Jill, what were some of the first steps you implemented as you begin to turn the bank? You know, that's a horrible situation to be in. So tell the audience just some of the first steps that you implemented in that program or to turn the bank around.
Yeah, I think the first steps are really just getting a lot of information and finding mm-hmm. that from the source, because the information was being distorted that was again provided to me. So they weren't.
Well, they probably didn't want to. I mean, people were apprehensive to tell you anything there. And then when you got there, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of fraud occurring. So they were spending money. They were paying for weddings. They were paying for medical school, for family members.
Yeah.
One senior leader had 13 family members on the cell phone plan. I mean, it was, there was one operations officer that issued herself a credit card, a bank credit card, and it was at $100,000 that she had spent on scrapbooking material and had issued herself a car, had whited out this card from the list that I was providing. So I had to go like to the source data because the numbers weren't matching the totals. I had to go and like add up all the total of all the bank credit cards, and that number didn't match what the total showed. And what had happened is that she had wide out some information. So there was just completely unethical behavior.
Did you put anybody in jail for that kind
More
of stuff? Anybody
go to jail? There was a resistance to let anyone go. So the regulators really kind of required us to let go senior team members, but the rest of the staff there, even though I think the right thing would have done would have been to do a turnover of the staff almost completely. But instead I was charged with, I need to rehabilitate them. And so we really had to focus on the basics, what it means to be honest, what it means to safeguard and not steal assets. And we were doing this with young people as well as people that have been here for 30 years. And so we used a model called Character First to be able to teach our team how to act professionally in an environment, how to be respectful of the assets that we were responsible for, and to be able to act with integrity with one another, to be honest, so that we could then have trust moving forward.
Hey, Jill, how did your military training, did that come into that pool? You know, did that help you turn it? That must help you turn it around.
Oh my gosh. I just remember, you know, as a private and talking through the general orders, and that you're responsible for complying with all these orders, but then you were responsible also to not comply with anything that was illegal. An illegal order, you're responsible even as a private to say, no, this is not okay. And what I was hearing from the staff was like, well, this person was higher ranking and they told me to do this thing, and that's why I did it. And so we had to say, like, you have the power, no matter what level you are in the organization, to say something's wrong and to call it out and say, don't do this. And so there was a lot of rank, like very hierarchical, similar to the military, but in the Army, you know, you have these foundations of what the rules are that everyone understands and that everyone is expected to uphold. And that's what we are missing here, is very hierarchical, but there wasn't the ethical standards that were commonly understood. And so that gave me a lot of power. And then even as a, you know, I got to have a lot of responsibility coming in as a surveyor. I love that career path in the military because you really are setting the course and building something for others to follow. And you're able to, as a private, be able to have a lot of authority and decision-making and kind of planning something else for others to follow. And so being able to use that.
Could you have did that without the military training? Could you have turned it back around?
There is no way. Without the foundation of ethics, without working with people coming from all different stations in life, and then coming to an understanding of what our ethical standards are going to be with one another, and then how you're bringing in people from all these different roles and responsibilities and backgrounds and diversity and geographies, and then keep bringing them all together for a common understanding and a common goal, very similar to what we were able to do here at Citizens Bank.
Did you ever think, hey, I'm not going to deal with this, I'm going to quit, and they can get somebody else to do this?
You know, I didn't want to quit, you know, kind of that never quit mentality. I think that
there you go. That's right. That's the right answer. Right,
you know, I quitting was not something I wanted to do. It was, I really thought I had a lot of confidence, and I had, you know, people I went to banking school with, instructors that I was able to pull their expertise from, and they all gave me a lot of confidence. Like, Julie, you've never done this before, but that doesn't mean you can't do it now. And each little win gave me more confidence for the next. And it's just been incredible to be on this road. So we ended up orchestrating the fastest turnaround in the nation, the whole financial crisis going on around us, without adding any capital. The bank is owned primarily by employees. So this was an Enron type of situation where they could lose all their retirement if the bank failed.
Yeah, I would imagine that slowly but surely the employees in the bank start pulling them a little bit closer. You know what I mean? They start joining your team, right?
You know, it was really one by one, and it took a while for them to really see that this wasn't about destroying something. This was about building something.
Building something, absolutely.
And that mindset shift, it just took more time with other people. I remember getting my hair cut across the street.
Oh, no, it's a great story. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
And a lady's cutting my hair, and she said, what brought you to Edmond? I said, I work at Citizens Bank of Edmond. And she puts her scissors down and says, you need to be careful. There's a lady that works there that's evil. I said, I think you're talking about me. And she said, no, this lady's destroying this, 100-year-old community bank. There's been so much turnover. This is destroying something so precious to your community. And so, just being able to win back the community, our customers, our team, and get them to really understand that we have to do these hard, things so we have to do things kind of no one else is having to do, so we can be something that no one else is. And
did you ever tell that beautician it was you?
I told her right off the bat. I said, this is,
oh, did you? That's great.
So you're definitely talking about me. And he was like, you're so sweet and kind. And I said, well, but we have to make these changes because we wanted to be here for a long time. And we saw, it also saw like the power of social capital with a bank, that we started having customers that were not like, they weren't as worried about their deposits as they were about losing the community bank in town.
And yeah,
we saw how important it was, well beyond the balance sheet.
Yeah, first of all, I can tell you that you're a nice person, you got a great smile, but you're so enthusiastic about what you're doing. And people draw from that. If they see somebody that really cares and wants to do the best for everything, they'll get on board. They want to be part of that team that's successful.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead. Hey, Jill, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to hear about Roger, your digital bank design for the new military service members. So I know you're not going anywhere. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack Gill-Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, please like us, click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at purdueglobal.edu. And USAA.
A century ago, our founders made a promise to always take care of their own. That promise is still at the heart of everything we do and why our members know we'll do what's right. Because at USAA, we take care of our own.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Jill Castilla, President and CEO of Citizens Bank of Edmond and Roger, a digital bank we're about to hear about. But first, I want to let you know about a way you can support the work we're doing here on behalf of veterans and families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're planning to get rid of or some property you have any plans for, you could donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/ and click on that vehicle donation button or the home donation button to support our work. We really would appreciate your support. Jill, you've got me so pumped up, I don't know what to do. I'm fired up here. I'm running all over here a little bit. Where did the idea come from to start a digital bank built around helping military recruits? I think it's a great idea.
No, I love it. I have served since 2019 as a civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army. So I've been able to be at Fort Sill in the Resurgent Battalion, interacting with basic trainees. And I was surprised to see a large percentage, 75%, were showing up without a completed direct deposit form. And they were having to take the bus to the local bank, delaying their training days and sometimes missing a paycheck as a result. So I was like, well, I can put together a digital direct deposit form that other banks can use. And at about the same time, I got a call from a digital banking company that said that they would love to partner with us and our bank. We have a really great reputation in the financial technology community if there was something we wanted to do. And then around the same time, I did a speech at the local university and talked a little bit about why I joined the military and then what happened to me financially. And a young lady came up to me and said, "Hey, I also, you know, your story is my story. When I enlisted, I was under 18. I had to have my mom on my account. She had a garnishment while I was at Basic and AIT, and as a result, it emptied my account to where all this garnishment. So I thought, well, maybe I can use this digital bank to start a bank for under 18-year-olds or new enlistees and be able to have a digital direct deposit form to help out our recruiters and ensure that we're not getting a delay. And so what came together was Roger, and it went well beyond that.
But it's specifically for service members? That's
it's specifically for service members, but it's open to everybody. But it's really designed for that entry-level service member. It gives them this great foundation of financial literacy. We pay the highest yields that you'll find for any digital bank. I think we're at 3.61 of the right now of March the 17th. You know, really great savings rate, no fees. We do a match for roundups. There's no way they can overdraw their account, for instance. It helps them monitor credit. So it's really kind of the most like badass banking that you can develop for this young person with all the tools that they're going to need or want to help them develop this really strong financial future as they continue their career in the military. Now we're about to open up on the business side. It's a full service bank. And we're able to use the power of this 125-year-old Citizens Bank of Edmond, comprised 20% of veterans that have worn the uniform, to be able to have this digital bank that we've launched for the military.
Do you get any feedback about Roger, you know, that since it's designed specifically for military veterans? Do you get a lot of feedback from the veterans about the uses of that?
It's great. We have this incredible advisory board that's helped us from the very beginning. One of my first calls was to General Paul Funk, and was asking, you know, they're talking about an enthusiastic guy to see if he would be willing to join since he had the TRADOC experience. And he shared an experience of, as being a young lieutenant, how this would have been really helpful to him. And so we have this great advisory board from all the different branches, all different ranks, people that completed their entire military career, others that transitioned out to the civilian community, that have been able to contribute to really forming something that is a top shelf digital banking experience. So any ID that you can use to enlist, for instance, you can use to open an online bank account, something that no other digital bank is able to do. You can't use a tribal card with most digital banks to open an account. You can use it to enlist. And so if you can use it to enlist, you can use it to open an account at all.
Yeah, you need to make sure you say hi to General Funk and Sergeant Major Troxel's in there,
yes,
too.
Yes,
hi to
yes,
them. Yeah, I probably know a couple more of those guys.
Sure.
I'm not sure those all.
Yes,
all
yes.
Hey,
it's
Go ahead.
We have a heavy Army team for sure.
Hey, what services are available? I mean, tell me about the services that are available.
Anything that you would expect to have at a bank. And so we're about to, by the end of this month, have banking for business available. So that's veteran entrepreneurs, military spouses that are running their own businesses. But anything you can get from a normal bank, you can get from Roger. VA lending, we're experts in this on the citizen side. So we're really excited to expand that with Roger. So this is through a bank and not a mortgage broker. So there's a lot more constraints regarding sales techniques. And so we're excited to really scale that offering for our service member community. Budgeting tools, the no fee is a really big component of that. A lot of military, there's a lot of heavy fees that are put on our military community members in their banking services, and the high yields, which we're committed to offering the highest yields available so that our service members can get that nice return on their money and build these great financial features going forward.
I know you was talking to me about that. I'm certainly listening while you was talking after doggone sure.
We'll give you the VIP. I give my cell phone out to anyone. And so you can have you have the ability to text the CEO if you run into any issues. I've been most service members that are overseas and were needing to get money to their spouses and either didn't have the funds in their account or were needing to transfer. So you also have this hyper local kind of experience by having the digital that compete with any digital out there.
You know, that would have helped me when I was a younger soldier. I remember going to Fort Hood one time, and I tried to get some money. My wife had already drawn money for that day, so I couldn't get any.
Yes.
And anyway, I worked it all out. I was a current Sergeant Major of the Army at that time, so I worked it all out. They fixed the system there for me. Hey, are members of the Rogers staff veterans?
Oh, yes. Every single person has served in or is currently serving in the military. I hired my husband to run the business development of that, so Marcus Castilla. We have members of the National Guard. We have an internship program. We have a Skill Bridge fellow. We are all in on making sure that that community is fully dedicated. Either those are wearing the uniform currently or having worn the uniform. And then our citizens being broader community, 20% of us have served. And then we also have really strong military spouse community, even though Edmond, Oklahoma is not a military town.
Yeah. How many accounts are with Roger? How many people have accounts with Roger?
Yeah, currently at 4,000, and that's without doing any advertising. So this has been just a word of mouth, and we can open an account in a couple minutes online or utilizing your phone. 4,000 accounts. We love that we're getting all these young people that are challenging the technology, saying this is what we want, this is what we need. And they're also raving about it. So we love it when we see Reddit threads and they're chiming in about the Roger raid and how it is just like a Chime account, but relative to the community. So you can get the best of this digital experience and still have it catered to the military.
Wow. I just keep more listening to you, the more I say, well, I got to move some money around here. We need to take a quick break. When I come back, I have one more question about Roger. After this discussion, I may want to move some money, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Quality insurance will set you up for the rest of your life. And I think that's what Blue Cross and Blue Shield has demonstrated for decades.
It adds to your longevity of life because we want to be there for our loved ones. We want to be there for our family.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed here today with Jill Castilla, President and CEO of Citizens Bank of Edmond and Roger, a digital bank geared toward the military. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please let me know what you want us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Jill, you told us a lot of great things about Roger, your digital bank geared toward the military. If someone's interested in it or a Citizen Bank of Edmond, what should they do? You know, what should they reach out to? You talked about your phone number. How do I get in the process, I guess, right?
Well, my cell's 405-808-8993. They're welcome to text.
You need to put that in the lower thirds there. Go ahead.
Yes. And also, social media. So LinkedIn, either for me or Marcus, love to engage. But you can access roger.bank. And we monitor our secure messaging 24/7. If you open an account, you can engage with us there securely from anywhere in the world. But also, there's an email address at the bottom of the website for roger.bank that we man as well. So I see all those emails as well as Marcus. So we'd love to get feedback. We'd love to tell you about what we're doing here. And this is supposed to be built by our service member community. We really want it to be the best of banking for our military. And so whatever we can do to be better, we're ready. We're here for it. So give us the feedback so we can keep elevating the experience.
There you go. Hey, Jill, is there a website? You said, is there a website to contact to?
Yeah, so the website is Roger, R-O-G-E-R.bank, E-A-N-K. The .bank URL is only available core FDIC insured banks. And so what it does is makes it where the bank's website can't be replicated or spoofed because it's so limited. And so it gives us that extra bit of security as you're emailing our Roger staff that you're not going to get a spoofed email that's getting, engaging with you about your bank account. So Roger.bank. If you're interested in Citizens and the organization that is backing Roger, that Roger's part of, that's mycitizens.bank.
Yeah. First of all, John, you're a wonderful person with a lot of great ideas. And I will say thank you for serving in the military. Do you ever wish you'd have stayed longer?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We got married, and that was a big point of contention. I always thought that I would come back to it. When we left to Hawaii, there wasn't a spot in the Hawaii National Guard, and so I had to get out. It's so much of who I am, and we really talked with our kids about service and how that can build such a professional structure that's well beyond your family, that allows you to have camaraderie with people from so many different backgrounds and the opportunity to lead. And so, I get to live a little bit vicariously through my kids and their endeavors, and really proud that they're able to start their careers in the military. And it was also a great position to be in for a military spouse. My military spouse community is amazing. And so to be able to support my husband through his career as part of that community was extraordinary as well.
I can see why you're so successful. You've got so much energy. Did your husband ever tell you, slow down, take a break?
Yeah, he tells me I'm like a steam train, like he's just like, you just run through things. And so he's a little bit more laid back than I am.
I used to have people I work with when I was in the Army, and I'd just say, hey, go do this. And then I'd get out of the way and let them to choo. So, hey, Jill, first of all, this has been a great discussion. And at the end of the show, we always ask if you had any final thoughts. Something that you want to leave the audience with? Any final thoughts, something you want to share with the audience?
I think we all have ways that we can contribute to this community. We're all learning either from our very far back in our background, our military experiences, or professional experiences. If you have idea, make sure contribute. There's others that want to collaborate with you. So, I never thought I would launch a digital military bank as part of my future, but to be able to, heal kind of a hurt that happened to me early on, to be able to make something that was challenging for me better for others has been so fulfilling. So I just encourage everyone to think about those things that you're especially gifted at, or that you have the resources to be able to make a difference, and don't hesitate to lean in and do it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Hopefully we talk to you again.
I appreciate it so much. Such an honor.
And thank you very much. Thanks again to Jill Castillo for being with us. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my social media pages. Never thought I'd ever say that. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and of course, LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. I don't know about you, but I am so pumped up today talking to Jill. She's a veteran, a military mom. Her husband's a lieutenant colonel, I think, in the military. But that's a military family that cares about all of us. So if you listen to the show, and she gave her phone number, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. She gave her phone to call her. Ask her, how can you help me? I would just tell you, when I was a young soldier, when I was in the military as a young soldier at 18 or 19 years old, I didn't get too much advice about finances, and I wish there's so many different things I should have done when I was a lot younger, and I didn't, because there was nobody there at the time now that really cared. Now I know there's people out there now that want to do all they can to help you, but I'm talking about something that we all can see, her enthusiasm, her motivation, her determination, that she just wants to make sure that you, me, all of us have a better life. And you can't do it without some finances. So reach out to Jill and talk to her. I'm sure that she'll help you out. Thanks for watching. And thanks to Newmont Studios, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEB Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEB Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.